So what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have, because you do not ask. And you ask, and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. It's a shocking statement to say, to think about, you don't have because you don't ask. I don't know about you, but the thought that there is more that God wants to do in my life or in your life, and the only reason you don't have it is you didn't ask. That's sobering to me. I mean, that's disappointing to think about that there's stuff that my Father is willing to do because you never asked. And I don't know about you, but all of our kids are different. Every child born to you may have came out of the same womb, but they are different. Can I hear an amen from some parents out there? You know, okay? And I found that each of my children approached me in a different way. They did. And how they would ask for things. And I don't know how they did it, but one of them figured it out. And he just knew how to ask in such a way that you knew it. You're like, he's getting more than the other ones. You know, you're always trying to be fair, but there was just something about the relationship and the way that person approached. And is it possible that God wants to do more in your life than you've ever seen? And it's just waiting there for you. That's something that compels me forward at times, to think about that and go, I don't want to get to heaven and have God say, oh yeah, by the way, I'd like to show you. This is what you could have had if you would have asked. I mean, I want my box empty when I get to heaven. You know, you asked for everything that I wanted to give you. You got it. You know, I mean, wouldn't it be disappointing to get to heaven? He says, oh, I wanted to do all this, but you never asked for it. So I want to talk about this promise in this series we're in. There is these powerful promises. There is the faithful promiser. But what about the idea of getting whatever you pray for? Now, some of you hear that and you think I'm starting to turn into Joel Osteen, you know. You know, no, this is the truth of the Word of God. These are the very words of Christ, and I want you to take you to John, and you see here we've got several passages, because in the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus repeats this same promise 7 times in the process of a few hours. 7 times. Now, if you're listening to somebody tell you their last words and testament, that they're about to die, and they tell you the same thing 7 times, they promise you something, wouldn't that get your attention? I think it should. So I want to show you how you can get whatever you ask for. It may not be exactly what you think. It never is with God, is it? You know, He always takes us in one way and pulls us out another. I love that about Him. He's very, very creative. Turn me to John 14. And as you turn there, I just want you to understand something about prayer. And this is just one of these little freebies before we get into the text. But what you pray for directs what your heart longs for. You understand that? That it's going to, your focus from your heart, what you're praying for is going to direct what your heart longs for. And this is very important in your prayer life, that you allow God to work through prayer. And so what you pray for directs what your heart longs for. And in this process, what I have found is that prayer changes you. It really does. So John 14. And there's a whole context, that whole passage here where Thomas has said, hey, we don't know the way. And he says, I'm the way. And then Philip chimes in after Thomas and he says, hey, you know, if you just show us the Father, it'd be enough. And he says, haven't you seen me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you know that the works that he's doing is what he's doing in me? And so it brings us to this spot. In fact, I'll back up to verse 11. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe because of the works themselves. Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says he has greater works that he wants to do through the lives of his disciples. Greater works. That's a stretching verse. But he gives the clue to how that happens in the next statement. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. He says, I have greater works to do. And then he says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? So that, remember, those are direct statements, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So here's your first principle. God will give you whatever you ask that will glorify his Son. God will give you whatever you ask that will glorify his Son. Asking, praying is the key to the kingdom. It's the key to experiencing the power of God. Prayer is God's plan for you and I to experience power and provision. Just as in relationships on this earth, that the way exchange occurs, there has to be communication. And so that's what God says. He says, I want you to do this. So he says, Jesus says, I want you to ask in my name. Now, there's a lot of different thoughts about asking in his name. And some of the things I'm going to say today may disturb you. I hope it is in a good way. But a lot of times when I hear people talk about praying in Jesus' name, it's very similar to the idea of a formula or the idea of a rabbit's foot. We say whatever we want to say and we get to the end, in Jesus' name, amen. It's the cover. So if I just say that, then whatever I said, that makes it okay. That is not the concept of asking in someone's name. Asking in his name is the basis upon which I approach God. He says, I'm going to come to God on the basis of Jesus Christ. He says, ask in my name. He says, you come for my purpose to the Father, and the Father will give you what you ask for. We have some awesome deacons in our fellowship. Do a lot of different work here. And one of the things that we have done is we've set up an account down here at the Farmers Building Supply. And when they go in there, they can charge things on an account. And they say, whose account is this on? We're asking for this in the name of the Jerome Perry Bible Church. And they receive whatever they ask. Unless they come to that person and they all of a sudden they go, does the church really want that? Is that really? You know, and there'll be a larger request. I had that happen recently. A security system call came back on one of our credit cards. And they said, has somebody with this number made this request, this request, this request, this request? Yeah, they had. They just were making some very large purchases at a particular time in their budget. But it's an idea that there's an accountability system there that says if you're asking in this person's name, then what you're asking for has to match the person you're asking it for. Does that make any sense? So that's the basis, is that in Jesus' name means as I come for Jesus' glory, I come for Jesus' honor, I come for Jesus' kingdom, and I come asking, Father, this is what Jesus would like to do. This is how he led me, so this is what I'm coming for, because he led me, this is what I need. And we can come to him on that basis. Prayer is this conversation with God, with His children, to accomplish His purpose. All right? It's not the divine grab bag. You know, we're reaching and trying to grab what we want out. It's the idea of saying, what does He want? And then I come and petition Him for that. And He says, whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says, I will do it. That's that promise. Okay? And He's revealing His plan to you and me, saying, I promise, this is the way I'm going to operate. You see, remember, Jesus is about to leave. They need to know, how are we going to get Your work done on earth? He says, you're going to ask. This is how it happens. You will ask. You ask according to My will, according to My purpose, according to My honor, and I will move in this way. Asking in Jesus' name results in receiving. That's what He says. I will do it. God will do what He says He will do. Here's the rub. If you've been a Christian more than a week, you've said this. You've thought you had this lined up. You've asked for these things. And some of you are still waiting. Isn't that right? You say, well, this hasn't happened yet. Timing is everything with God, isn't it? You know, children of Israel went into slavery. Did God have a plan to set them free? Absolutely. The date was already set before they moved to Egypt. Check it out, Abraham's promise. It was already set how many years they were going to be enslaved. They were praying for hundreds of years that God would set them free. God was going to set them free, but they were doing some waiting. And to some of them, it perceived in their mind, I'm sure, God isn't coming through for us. But He is coming through. But remember what? According to His will, according to His purpose, according to His timetable and His honor. And believe me, I, like you, have many prayer requests that I have prayed that I don't understand why it didn't turn out different. There's coming a day when you'll know. You'll understand the purpose of God. And you'll see what He was about. But promises provide us this truth to focus on. It gives you something to hang on to. And I think sometimes the people are just they feel like they're grasping at air. But honestly, a promise is something that you're supposed to. And actually, I got this from my son's sermon last week. This is really cool. I used somebody else's illustration. I may not be able to do it with this rope, but the idea of a promise is that it's like a knot on a rope to hang on to. If you're trying to hang on to something and there's nothing there at the end, it's very hard to hang on to. And some of you feel like you're just grasping at straws with God. And yet, if we will trust Him and allow His work to be done in our lives, He is willing to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ever ask or think, isn't He? Isn't that right? That's what He has promised. And so I'm going to blow it here, right in front of everybody. But the issue of being able to tie a knot so that there's something that you can hang on to is the idea of claiming a promise. So there at the end of the rope. And one of the neat things is, and I'll run out of time here this morning, so I won't go into it, is that you can then tie the knot in such a way that it secures you, that you're in the knot. That the promise is on you, that you're resting in that. I remember being taught that in Boy Scouts, and they teach us to do the bowline nine. And instead of holding on to the inner rope, there was a rope holding on to you. And if you're trying to rescue somebody, they don't have to hang on to it. The rope actually holds them and draws them forward. Friends, that's what the promises are intended to do. And so He would repeat it again. It says, if you ask Me for anything in My name, I will do it. So there's promise number two. He said it over again. He just said it one right after the other. Jesus wasn't stuttering. He was emphasizing. He's drawing a point here. All right? And so promises invite you to walk by faith. And remember, faith is that confidence, what? In what you don't see. Right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. So what we're saying is, when you see a promise and you're led by God to ask, you're seeing the unseen before it happens, and you ask for that, and you can even give thanks for it before you even get it. That's what a promise will do. You say, God's going to do this. This is the way God works. And then he says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Huh? What's that have to do with asking for anything? If you're in the kingdom, the command of the kingdom is what? Love. All right? That's the greatest command. It's to love. So he said, you want to pursue my kingdom? Then live out the love. If you ask God for the love that he requires for those he's put in your life, is he going to answer that? That's the will. See, oftentimes what we're looking for is stuff. God's looking for a character transformation. All right? And says, hey, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll be someone who lives in the love that I've given. Look over here in chapter 15. He says, if you abide, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, we were talking about that last week. If you abide in him, you will do what? If you abide in him, you will do what? Talked about last week. Come on, do I have to start that sermon over? We'll bear much fruit. We will step into obedience. You will bear much fruit. That's the promise of the Father, that when you abide, you will bear. All right? So out of that, he then says what? Here's the process of being an abider, is that you'll be a prayer. Friends, prayer is an integral part of the abiding relationship. You know? Can you stay married if you don't have conversation? Some of you haven't figured out how to stay married because you do have conversation, but that's a whole different sermon. Okay? But the idea that the communication allows the life to flow, okay? He says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Do you see that relationship? He says, if you're in me, and that which I have spoken, remember what we just read? Love one another. All right? If my words are abiding, what will happen? You can ask whatever you wish. If we're walking in this relationship together, living this out, he says, you can ask whatever you wish. Why? How can he say that? Because whatever you wish, when you're walking in Christ, will be for Christ's purpose, for Christ's glory. He says, hey, you want that? Sure. So here's the second thing. Dependence upon God produces confidence with God. When you are in that abide relationship, when you are depending upon him for life, he will build life into you. And you grow confident with him. When we lack confidence, and all of us have an ebb and flow. This is not something that you take off with God and there's this perfect rocket line higher. Okay, it's more like some of these practice launches that you've seen sometimes, and the rocket's going in loops for a while. You know, it's like, okay, wait a minute. I'm dipping. Your faith comes and goes in accord to how you're walking in the Word and how you're walking it out in your life. But this idea of dependence will build confidence. What do I mean? That as you trust and you sense the strength of his promise, you can lean back into it. Just like we were talking about with this rope. You can just lean back into that and trust. When you're rappelling, one of the most interesting things about rappelling is the fact that when you go over a cliff, the only safe way to rappel is to lean back far more than you feel comfortable. If you don't lean back far enough, you are going to fall off the face of the rock. But when you lean back, your weight keeps you on the rock and you're trusting the rope. Many people have a rope around them, the promises of God, but they're hanging onto the cliff with their own hands. And you're tired. I'm here to tell you, you can trust the promises of God. They are true and worthwhile. So he says what? He says, once again, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And again, what's the condition? Abiding in me, and my words abiding in you. This isn't, oh, okay, I want the Mercedes. Oh, I want this. I want that. No, it's, do you have his kingdom in mind? Are you asking for that to be accomplished? Those who rely on Christ's life, abiding in accordance with him, will want his will. And that's what you're going to be asking for, to see that happen. You know? I mean, illustration here this morning. Why that was so cool to hear my son preaching the word. How many years have I been praying that the word that was taught to him would take root in his life and bear fruit, and that he would find in him the work of Christ sufficient to declare the word of Christ through his life. So it was awesome to see that come about. That's what the book says. That's the in accord to the promise. And so I just trusted that, waited on that. I had to have some people encourage me. I remember one day I was, you know how parents, you have those days where you're not always so confident that what you've put in the ground is going to pop up someday. I can still remember Dan. Dan was talking to me one night after an elders meeting. He says, James, it's in the ground. It's there. Just it'll come out. Just give it time. We want it now, isn't that right? Just like the harvest. You want it the day you put it in the ground. It doesn't come up that day. But you can trust the promises of God, because abiders can ask God for anything. If we step into that, you can ask him for anything, and he'll do that in your life. Because you want what? What God wants. You're asking for his will. You're asking for his stuff. And he says, sure, I'd like to do that. Who wouldn't? Your child comes to you and says, would you please show me how I can be a more obedient son? And you, from your lofty position of authority, says, nope, you're going to have to figure that out on your own. Aren't you going to mentor that child? Aren't you going to pour yourself in and say, oh, let's show you how to do that? If you come wanting what God wants, I guarantee you God's going to pour it out into your life. Now, there's a timetable, and his watch is never mine, but it's a good timetable nevertheless. But see, one of the reasons we don't see these answers, because we don't ask. And one of the reasons you don't ask is because you've asked before and been disappointed. And so now you just said, you know what? I'll just quit being disappointed. I want you to think about this. I don't consider that wise choice. Number one, you've been commanded to ask. So you're being disobedient. But in this idea of saying, I don't want to be disappointed, what are you doing? You're living in your disappointment. You say, I don't want to be disappointed anymore. You're still in the more disappointment. You're not moving forward if you don't walk it out with the person that you're trusting in. One of the other reasons I think we don't pray is because we don't plan to. We don't plan to. It's not that you don't want to. You say, I want to pray. And if I talk to somebody, I mean, we always say, hey, I want to pray more. I mean, I can stand up here and make us all feel guilty. Did you pray enough last week? Who can say yes to that? So of course we need to grow in that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how we're praying. This isn't about more words. There's verses about multiplying words. The Bible says God's not really impressed with long prayers. It's about the depending on him. But we don't plan to pray. You know, I didn't see anybody come in this morning without shoes on. How'd you get those shoes on? You planned to do it, didn't you? You bent down, pulled those on. You made a decision to put something on. Prayer is something you choose to put on. You choose to put yourself into in your life. And you take the time to do it. And so you need to have a plan. I would encourage you, I talk about this a lot, but the God time, you have a place that you go regularly in the morning to seek God's face. That you say, this is a place that I pursue with God. I mean, I pray behind the wheel. I pray with people over their answering machines. I pray all sorts of different places. But having a regular place will change your abiding relationship. And then have a purpose. What am I looking for? What do I really want to see? What do I think God wants to see happen? So you're thinking specifically. And something else that will strengthen your prayer life like nothing else is have a prayer partner. Do you have somebody that's running with you? Somebody that you can get together with at least once a week. I know some of you ladies, you went from secret sisters to special sisters or whatever, and you're making prayer partners. I encourage that. Men, I encourage you to have that running partner. You say, hey, that we're going to pray together. That you'd partner up with somebody. And a lot of times the reason we don't pray is what? We say, I am so busy. You've said that before, haven't you? I was just too busy to pray. I'm glad Jesus wasn't. Mark 1:35, there's a verse that I find very interesting. Why don't you read it with me? In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. Now, I know some of you think I'm just a morning person. I actually can enjoy sleeping in occasionally. But this is a verse that's rocked my world. That my Savior got up when? See, it's not about the hour. It's about its relationship to the day that's coming. Okay? But when you think about this, you go, well, it must have been nice. Have that kind of time, just get up early in the morning and go aside. Very interesting. You step back one day in Jesus' life. Do you know what the day before this was like? Let me read it to you. It was a day when he was teaching in the synagogue. A demon-possessed man, while Jesus is preaching, says, why are you here, Son of God? Have you come to torment me before the time? Slight interruption to teaching time. Deals with that. He moves on. He steps out, continues to teach through the day. Verse 32 of Mark 1 says, and when evening came after the sun had set, okay, you know what time that is, right? They began bringing to him all who were ill, all who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases, cast out demons. He was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And early in the morning, while it was still dark. See, that was the day before the early in the morning. I'm here to tell you, the busier your day, the more you need to pray. The busier your day, the more you need to pray. Martin Luther put it that way. He said, I have so much to do, I have to get up 4 hours before dawn to get my work done. There is a dependency that will lead you to an abiding relationship of prayer. Friends, prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Prayer is a battle because we are in a battle. All right? Prayer is a matter of faith, and it is faith that will lead you to pray. So I encourage you, when you read the Bible, the book of Acts is a book of prayer. Have you noticed that? That the early believers, they were praying all the time. Every situation they got in, whether it was trying to keep Peter's head on him, okay? You know, or whether it was sending out Paul and Barnabas on a mission journey. When Paul was going to this place, they would pray before he left. They'd pray when he came back. They were people of prayer. But look what it says here back in John 15. He says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now remember, what do we say over here in John 14? We're seeking to glorify God. He says, glory comes through fruitfulness. So what is he? He's telling you what you can be praying for. You can be praying for God's fruit to be born in your life. And God says, I want to make that happen. All right? Because fruitfulness is God's plan for you. Look at it down here in the 16th verse. John 15, 16. I don't want to get lost here. All right? So we are now at promise number 4. Okay? He's saying this for the fourth time. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit remain. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. See it again? Yeah. But I chose you. I appointed you to bear fruit. Friends, you are designed and designated to make a difference. Think about that. Where He's put you, who He's put you with, He's appointed you right there. He's designed you, and He's designated you. He says, I appointed you, I'm anointing you, I'm blessing you to make a difference, that you would bear fruit right where I plant you. Some of you have been praying to be uprooted. It's okay. Just understand, God's timing, God's choice. But that you would trust Him, friends. But what does He say here? The next statement, again, is what? This I command you, that you love one another. Do you see it? It's right back to this principle of relationship, that you walk in obedience with Me, and I'm going to do this in your life. I want to pour fruit into you and out from you. It's a part of this abiding process. All right? How fruitful do you want to be? I'm not saying how disappointed you've been. I wrestle with that. I look back on my life and I'm so thankful. I've been blessed far more than I deserve. But I desire to see more. I desire to see more people saved. I desire to see more disciples built up. I desire to see more missionaries sent out. That's the plan of God. I want to see more of that. So I'm still praying about that. And I'm trying to look, hey, where are you out of step with Christ? How can you walk this out in a greater way? Turn me over to chapter 16. Verse 23. He talks about them going through grief and pain, the days ahead. Verse 23, he says, in that day you will not question Me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in My name, He will give it to you. There's number five. He said, that's the fifth time He said that. You ask the Father anything in My name, I will give it to you. Now catch this. Until now, you've asked for nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Ask, and you will receive, so your joy may be made full. Do you understand that Moses in the law gave no commands regarding prayer? But when Christ came, He says, you will pray. He introduced you to this Father-Son relationship with God. It's a unique work that He wants to do in our lives. He says, if you ask the Father for anything in My name, He will give it to you. Friends, when my priority is to pray for His purpose, His answers are assured. When my priority, I mean, this is the value inside of my heart. Remember, He's always looking at what? The heart. Isn't that right? It's not the color of your skin. It's not the amount of muscles you've built up. It's not your tone. He's looking at your heart. He says, is it the priority to pray for His purpose? When it is, His answers are assured. He says, My Father will do it. You ask anything. You ask My Father anything. He will give it to you. If you want what He wants, it'll work. I've seen it again and again. Last week we were talking about this abiding. We were talking about this whole praying thing. Oh, sometimes be careful what you're asking for, friends. He will stretch you beyond measure. It has been a thick, tough week. And I kind of feel like saying, again, you know? And yet some of the things that I've prayed for, someone I've been praying for 20 years, and would never listen to me, you know, 30 minutes sitting under the gospel this last week. I'm so delighted. And to watch a heart turn. Not all the way, but it's moving. And I believe if it's moving, He's moving. If He's moving, it's done. Amen? You gotta say it and see it and wait for it. But it's coming. That God didn't move Him to drop Him. And I see that work going on in people's lives, but sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's tough. But if I want what he wants. See, your Father answers prayers that promote the Son's purpose. So we've got to think about that. Now, this is a spot where I may mess some of you up again. I'm not trying to mess nobody up. So that's my disclaimer. But sometimes what we do is this. Oh Lord, would you please bless the missionaries? Oh Lord, would you please bless my marriage? Lord, would you please bless my children? That's a good prayer. But it's not a great prayer. Because I'm here to tell you, God's already done that. And God's going to continue to do that because that's who He is. Isn't that right? But if you want to come to God to see God do something that you'll recognize, because when you get done with a day and say, hey God, did you bless me today? You have to always say what? Yeah, of course He did. I'm always blessed. But if you don't pray specific enough to know if you got an answer, you won't be rejoicing in the answer when you get it. Is anybody with me yet? So when we pray the will of God, what do you know? Well, let me put it in specifics here. I want God to bless my marriage. Now, some of you know exactly what that means. That means you have to pray for your spouse to change. No. Because I'm praying the will of God into my life. Isn't that right? So as a man of God, if I'm praying, even if I'm praying with my spouse for my marriage, what I'm praying for is, God, would you produce humility and gentleness and patience in me towards my spouse? Is that the will of God? I'm praying the will of God. I know that's what God wants to do in my life. You ask God for that, God will do that. Is He going to say, no, I don't want you to be more kind to your wife? No, He's going to answer that prayer. Now, it's not instantaneously. Sorry, ladies. But if you pursue God's will for you in that relationship, God will transform you. But oftentimes what we're doing is trying to pursue God's will for the other person. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the other person, but the movement starts with you. Prayer changes you when you want what God wants rather than what you want what God wants for them. Rather, you want what God wants for you. That's where the change happens. At least that's the way it's worked with me. You're in a difficult work situation and you're saying, oh God, would you please give me a raise? Oh God, would you please help that boss be nicer to me? Whose will are you seeking? Yours. How about seeking the kingdom's purpose? God, would you make me the best employee I could possibly be? Would you show me how to work respectfully with that person that you put me with? I know who you're working with. I mean, we all got some of those in our workplace. Isn't that right? We've had those situations. See, but when you begin praying the will of God for you in that place, you get changed. And that's radical. And that's where you can say, oh, this is working. This is happening. Because when you pray specific, you can see specific answers. So you say, how do I pray this way? You just think about any relationship that you've got, and then what God's commands are for you in that relationship, and you pray those commands back over yourself. And by the way, husbands and wives, I encourage you, pray together every day. Parents, pray with your children every day. But some of you are praying, oh God, will you please give my child a better attitude? And then there ain't nothing wrong with praying for that. I've prayed that prayer before. But I'm here to tell you, when you pray the prayer that says, God, would you make me a firm, consistent, compassionate disciplinarian in my child's life? Now I'm praying the will of God for me. And God will change me. And when God changes me, funny thing happens. Oftentimes the chillens move right along. Pray the will of God. But let's get specific, because God already has blessed, but the greater blessing comes from a greater level of specificness when you pursue His plan. Look, He asks you to ask. No, He commands you to ask. Did you catch that? He says, ask. That is an imperative. ask and you will receive. He says, ask. If I don't ask, I am in disobedience. I am in sin. If I'm not seeking God's will in my life. Because what am I doing? I'm now living on my own. I'm living in flesh then if I'm living on my own. It's commanded for us to pray. Whew. Okay. I might get excited about this if I'm not careful. But what do you understand why I get excited about this? Because I've seen what's happened in my life. I've seen what's happened in the Word of God. I see this promise. I want this for you. And I see people who've settled. You settled someplace. Yeah, this is good enough. I'll just wait till the rapture bus comes. Takes me home. Man, if you've got a pulse, God's got a plan, and the plan is for you to be a praying person to see the kingdom come in and through your life, that you'd be living under the authority of the king, that he'd be reigning in your life. And look what it says. This is something else you want, because some of you look like you could suck oatmeal out of a vase. All right? He says, so that your joy might be made full. God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to be experiencing joy. And I'm telling you, when I see God answer prayer, I'm like, yeah. It was so fun. This morning came in. Things that I prayed before I left my house, things that I prayed over here with Dan during our pre-service prayer, were answered before we got in the door. Guess what? I'm like, yeah! That's my God. He's working. He's working. And then joy comes into me. When you see God answering specific prayers in your life, how can you not be full of joy? I mean, and that's why you pray more than one prayer, friends, because there's always ones you're waiting on, okay? You know, like I told you, I mean, I'm telling you a praise for somebody I've been praying for 20 years. If that's the only prayer I've been praying, I'd be bummed until now. But see, you pray lots of different things with the Father, and He'll be doing something every day. Every day. I see it. He'll do something every day if you walk it out with Him. Listen, He wants you joyful. Receiving what we ask produces joy inside of us. And so that whole thing of saying, rejoice always, you know, Philippians 4:4? That's a very simple statement, isn't it? Just read it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's a choice to rejoice. But the awesome thing is, if you're keeping track of this, you got a prayer journal, you got a praise journal. Some of you ladies are starting that new thankfulness, the 5,000 gifts. No, it's 1,000. I push for bigger stuff, 5,000. That's what I'm going for. But I've already passed 1,000 in my list. I'm at 1,700. But let's go for giving God glory. And you keep a journal and you'll be rejoicing. It's an easier choice when you see what He's doing. Listen, in your small group, we always encourage what? Prayer. Don't be skipping praying. Pray. Take the time to make that happen. It'll bring joy into your group. On Sunday morning, I want you to pray before you get out of bed. I want you to pray when you get here. I want you to think about next Sunday during prelude time. Would you pair up with somebody and the piano players up here playing? Would you be praying? Find somebody. Pray with somebody. I just want to ask God's blessing in your life. Or maybe it's your prayer partner. You guys come together 5 minutes before church and pray. I don't know how specific to get here, friends. One of the deepest pains in my heart most Sundays is the fact that I pray with one or two people who are asking for God to move in a powerful way here. And I know you can pray alone, but I believe God does something when we come together. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Is He not with us? Of course He's with us always. But He's saying there's something unique in the manifestation when two or three get together. I want to encourage you to be a person of prayer. Now listen, I'm not calling you to have more faith in your faith. I'm not trying to talk you into praying more. I'm inviting you to call on Christ. To not trust yourself, but to trust the Savior. So when he says here, ask, it's not about, oh, did I ask in the right, perfect way? Don't get hung up on yourself. That's back to rules and laws. It's who you're asking, whose purpose you're seeking. Go to him and let him bring the change. Because this is the cool thing. This is number 7, I think. See, 6 is 23, 5 is 23, 6 is 24. Now look what he says. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming, I'll no longer speak to you in figurative language. I'll tell you plainly of the Father. In that day, now what's that day? This is the day of the resurrection. After Christ has been raised from the dead. So that's what he's talking to him about. He's getting ready for. You will ask in my name. There it is again. And I do not say, I will request of the Father on your behalf. Now this, stay with me on this, because if you say, wait, I thought Jesus was praying for us. Oh yes, he is. What he's saying is, he says, I don't have to come begging Daddy to do something for you. See, a lot of people have that view. And that's why some people are praying to saints. Some people are praying through Mary. That's heresy, by the way. Right? Because you have one mediator between man and God, the man, God, Christ Jesus. But what does he say? Verse 26, he says, if in that day you will ask in my name, I do not say to you, I will request the Father on your behalf. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed I came forth from the Father. He says, Daddy loves you already. I don't have to come talk Daddy into doing something for you. You can call on Abba. That's what the Spirit does inside of us. That's a whole thing out of Romans chapter 8. Not even knowing how to pray as you should. But the Spirit inside calls out, Abba, will you do this in my life? Is anybody with me yet? Yes. That Abba wants you to pray this way. Why? Because the Father loves you. The Father loves you. Look at that person next to you. Are you telling this again? Father loves you. He really does. Tell that person next to you. The Father loves you. He loves you. You can't hear that too much, can you? I mean, I tell my wife, I have not heard I love you too much from her. I mean, she tells me a lot. I'm saying, it's a good thing to hear. True? Tell the Father that you love him back. You know how you do that? You pray about what he wants done. That shows that you're on his purpose, that you're on his plan. I'm inviting you to trust the promise maker, right? Not the promise claimer. See, some people are saying, oh, I just don't have that much faith. No, it's not about you. It's about him. Is he the one that loves? Yes, he is. Then believe him. Trust him. Walk it out. If you've never done this, this is the most important prayer you can ever pray. Romans 10:13. Read with me. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you ever called? If you have never called, the rest of this sermon makes absolutely no sense because you don't have an Abba yet. You have a Creator. He's willing to be your Abba. If you will call on Christ, he becomes Father to you. If you've never called on him, today is the day of salvation. Call on Christ. But when we begin to call on him, when we begin to hang on to the cord of the promise of God, you will see the work of God in your life. And you'll see it before it's done. And you can rejoice in it before it's done. You may not know exactly how it's going to get done. See? But you can wait for it, you know, just like I was telling you this morning. You know, when my son got invited to go to the class for Foundations of Counseling, it was over 2 years ago. And in my spirit, there was a confirmation that that's where he's supposed to go. And he said, I'm not going. And my spirit had to say, Abba, it's up to you. And he'll tell you, because he's told me, he's testified, he says, I was not ready then. See, sometimes Father reveals something He's going to do before He does it, and you're thinking He's going to do it tomorrow because He told me He's going to do it. Now, there's a lot of promises that we've waited a long time to see. We're still waiting for Him to come back. Just because you're waiting doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's coming. The promise is coming. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep interceding, because He wants to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ask or think. Oh. And Amuri said, it's prayer that God has given us the right to take hold of Him and His strength. Friends, when we pray in Jesus' name, we pursue the Father's provision. We receive the Father's provision for the Son's purpose. Pray. It's what God wants to do. Hang on to the promise like a rope. Hang on to the promise like that knot. But prayer, friends, is kind of like swimming. You can read about it, and that'll help you understand it. You can watch somebody else do it, and that will help you understand it. But the only way you learn how to swim is to get in the water and swim. And it's the same thing with prayer. The only way you can do this is by praying. I want to encourage you to pray purposefully. I want to encourage you to pray personally. Pray specifically. Pray expectantly. And pray persistently. And I want to scare you, because I want you to do it now. I haven't told anybody what I'm doing right now, but I'm going to ask a couple of the elders that they would just stand and move to different corners of the room. You guys do that? Jeff and Tiffany? Come on up here. Different small group leaders, will you just stand up where you are? These are people who are doing ministry in the body. I want you to come alongside. Two or three, just come alongside. One person can pray for me. You can't pray out loud. That's okay. You can still pray. I want you to come alongside some of these people. You're involved in a ministry. Keith, you're in missions. You stand up. You're praying for the missions group in that ministry. I'm going blank up here, but I want you, come along. If you see somebody you want to be praying for, you just join. But when I ask right now, will you just join and stand next to these people? Somebody, you want to say, hey, I'll pray for this person that they'll be successful in their ministry. I'll pray that God's will be fulfilled in their life. Will you come alongside of somebody? I want you to practice what I'm preaching. I don't want you to just hear it and say, hey, that was a good sermon, preacher. I will do that. I will do that. So let's come together. Let's come together. Will somebody just come alongside these different folks? God wants to do a work. Father, we're asking that you would do a work beyond what we can imagine. We're asking that you would move in this church for your glory, for the purpose of Jesus Christ here, that we would see souls saved, that we'd see marriages reconciled, that we would see families built up, that we would see testimony born in the workplace. Father, we're asking that you would do a reviving of our hearts and our spirits that would extend beyond a Sunday, Father. We ask that there would be greater things accomplished here than we've ever seen, that we ever even know to ask. We're praying that you would bless our children's ministry and the youth ministry and our small groups ministry. We're praying that you'd be blessing our worship team, Father. We're praying that you would be blessing in our missions work, in our women's work, in our men's work. Lord, we are leaning on you. We know we can't do this of ourselves, but we have gathered this morning to say we believe what your word says. Your word says ask. So we are asking for you to intervene, to work in the lives of our leaders, to work in the lives of our members, that we might walk after you with a whole heart. We're praying that you would then fill us with great joy. For the glory of Christ, we ask it. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing a song of praise here at the end. My Savior, my God. So I'm extending that invitation to you. To be a prayer. That when the family of God comes together, that we would pray. And so that's something to think about towards next week when it's prelude time and that piano's playing. Maybe stop chattering. Come alongside somebody and just pray for them. Let's begin to pray that God would move. Friends, I don't have any other confidence for the work of God to be done in our lives apart from God Himself to do the work. Let's talk to Him.